save big money on plant protection supplies. Now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready to spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. I can't lie, y'all. I was this close to not recording tonight. I am sick. I am tired. And then on top of that, the way that our one bet of the day went down, the under 209 in the Mavs-Clippers game was just so frustrating. So frustrating. And there have been so many times, plenty of times in these playoffs where we've made a bet. And it's absolutely been the wrong call. But this was one of those L's where you feel good. It was the right side, shaping up to be a win really the majority of the night. And then things just do not close right. Wasn't a ton of scoring, right? Things were shaping up well. And then especially second half, Clippers just couldn't score. They had 50 points with about 4 minutes left. Russ makes a free throw with like 4:30 left in the third. And then they closed it with like, they reeled off like 19 points, 4 minutes. All right, whatever. Now they're back. And then they couldn't score again. Like, they scored like 3 points the first 6 minutes of the fourth, and we're like back in business again. But it got to the point where they just waved the white flag. As a result, the Mavs pull their guys as well, and then it becomes a glorified pickup game for about 6 minutes. With, you know, it's not like guys aren't playing defense, but it's just not nowhere near the same intensity. And it's like, all right, if you beat me, you beat me. And the Mavs and Clips both have, honestly, bench guys that are buckets. Jaden Hardy's one of the bigger bench buckets in the league, so he's just cooking. Reel off like 13 points in like 6 minutes. Bones Highland just going shot for shot. Brandon Boston. Fuck, bro. So it's tough. We take another L. We really need these Knicks to close this out and get us that series cash. Because I think in both these plays this week, Isaiah Hartenstein over 19.5 PRA and the under tonight, to me, felt like the right side. Just things didn't go our way. But it is what it is, man. The playoffs are extremely, extremely hard. And I think we're learning. I mean, again, I think because I've done the podcast every – like in the past, it's mostly a regular season thing. But I think because I've done the podcast every day in the off season, it's like, I've been more inclined to bet. And I think it's just like, dude, if you love something, play it. If you don't, just watch and enjoy. Because the playoffs are super, super, super tough and things are super, super tight. So, regardless, we're gonna still talk through, we talk some Mavs clips, man. I lean Clips, but statement game by the Clips today, man. Statement game. The Mavs defense was just suffocating. And you guys see, really when teams play great defense, yes, obviously, a huge part of the benefit is that you stop them from scoring, right? But I think the other huge aspect of it that doesn't always get looked at is now your offense has more rhythm. Because now you're getting rebounds and you're running it back at them instead of having to face the set defense. And it compounds on the other end too, is okay, now you're scoring a lot. Now they are always going against a set defense. And so that's why defense is so important. Is it's not just like literally they're not scoring, although that's obviously a big part, but it's like the rhythm, it's a rhythm builder for you. When you score, you can set your defense up. When you get stops, you can run at a non-set defense. And you just saw Clippers could never really find their rhythm. And the Clippers always, and the Mavs always had their rhythm. And that's when you see, like, that's why you see these teams, or you just take even tonight, for example, right? Like Luka or whoever it is, they're making shots that they sometimes would miss, but because they have rhythm, their easier shots, their confident looks, their rhythm looks. And you guys know that when you play basketball, the same shot can be difficult or hard given the rhythm that you have, the flow that you have. And so that's why defense is so important. The Mavs locked it down. And then when you when one of those two guys in Kyrie or Luka have rhythm, it's enough to really carry an offense. And you saw that offense got absolutely cooking tonight as a result of the defense. Clips got a tough task on them. Again, they're not going to fold. Game six is going to be really tough for Dallas. I think Dallas is going to get it done. I think they know now after that game four, like, no more fucking around. We got to get this done. And they're going to get it done, but it's going to be a really, really tough game. I would think this Clippers team is going to fight. Clippers team still has good personnel. They still have a good coach. It's going to be a dogfight, but it's looking likely that the Mavs have done their job and that they'll be moving on to face the OKC Thunder, which should be a hell of a series. Still don't know who I'm going to pick there. And honestly, we'll wait and make sure that the Mavs get that done. Other game of the day is the Celtics Heat. I ain't really got much to say about that, man. Didn't bet it. Wouldn't bet it. Kind of glad this series is over. I feel bad for Spo, man. He's just completely outmatched in terms of the personnel. And there's just only so much you can do. And you saw they got that game two win. And it's been domination since. And it's really the only reason you sometimes didn't know if there would be domination is because Spo is such a good coach. But even Spo could not figure out a way to make that work because there's just too much of a difference between those two teams. So, tough year for the Heat, and again, there's only so much you can do. Like, if Jimmy's there, it's a different ballgame. Still picking Boston in advance, but obviously, you know, Jimmy's a huge, huge piece on both sides of the ball. Without him, Heat stood no chance, and honestly, respect to them for even winning one game. Like, I would have thought it would have been a sweep. So, that is that. We've got two games tomorrow. Two really good games. We're going to talk about it, but I mean, to me, with the playoffs, right, like with the regular season, I love it because you got different games every day. You got different looks every day. You got different, you know, schedules, guys in and out of the lineup. There's so much more to analyze. With these games, it's just like, bro, we'll start with the Sixers-Knicks. With the Sixers-Knicks, it's the same shit every game in terms of, like, grindy, scrappy teams. They both take their turns making runs. Comes to the fourth quarter, one of them might have a slight lead. When you get down to it, it's going to be a very, very close game. Someone's going to hit big shots, and someone's going to win. And you don't know who it's going to be. You have different versions of the same shit every game, right? Game one, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Sixers up late. Knicks come back late, win it. Game two, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Sixers take the lead late, blow it. Knicks win out of nowhere. They shouldn't have won. Game three, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Sixers win it late. Game four, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Knicks win it late. And then game five, back and forth, Sixers up late. Knicks back up late. Sixers somehow steal it because of Tyrese Maxey. And it's going to be the same shit tomorrow, more or less. I would guess that the Sixers win because they're down and they're at home. But it's just going to be a back and forth ball game. I have no idea how you're supposed to cap this game. Like, it's the same shit. There's no adjustments. The series is what it is. Each team knows exactly what the other team's going to do. It comes down to, at this point, who hits more shots. Does Jalen Brunson make the mid-range tough jumpers? Does Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart and OG Anunoby make the threes on the kickouts? Does Joel Embiid get to the line 20 times? Do the role players hit shots off of his passes? Does Tyrese Maxey go for 20 or 40? Right? It comes down to who shoots the ball better. And I'm not a fortune teller. I don't know what's going to happen. I will say the one thing I'm nothing on the total. 198's dropped down again. I'm scarred now today. today should have absolutely gone under. It didn't. But nothing on the total, nothing on the spread. Only thing I look at is Embiid assists. And look, guess what? We've been getting 5.5 plus money this whole time. It's now 5.5 minus 157. So that's gone. Isaiah Hart signed down to 17.5, as he should be, because Mitch is playing. Everything you've let the books at this point, right? The books have now had 5 games of data. I don't know where you're finding value. I'm sorry. Like, this is why I almost didn't do the pod either. Is like, I don't know where you're finding value. I don't know how you're supposed to find value in this. This game, I will say this. If you want to find value, guys, this game is going to be back and forth, right? If a team takes a 10-0 lead or a 10-point lead in the first half, live bet the other team. You're going to find so many different points, I believe, where you can find value on the team that's just not on a run, because they'll always come back. And you look in all of these games, each of the teams, both teams have had leads at some certain point. Last game, Sixers came out ready to go. They were up 10 at one point in the first half. Knicks were up, I think, 10 in the second half. Then the Sixers brought it back again. And then the Knicks brought it back again and still blew it up 6. So I think for me is, just bet the other team's money line after runs, right? And this is at minus 3. So it's going to be, it's just going to go up and down and up and down and just really come down to who makes shots. So that's my look, right? The one look that I liked in the props was Joel Embiid. That's now gone. That makes me feel a little bit better that we actually got some money on that, because we had been on 5.5, but that's now minus 157 from plus money, which is crazy. Well, let's do our due diligence and look around. Jalen Brunson under 33.5 is a decent look for me too. But again, it's like, dude, what are you doing? You're betting the under on the best player, on the high usage player who's playing 40 minutes. It's just high. Like, he went over last game and the game before, but the game before he went absolutely bonkers. It was just the Jalen Brunson game. Last game, you kind of saw more of what you expect, where it's like high usage, sure. Plenty of shots, sure. But not like the ridiculous, and it went over because he went crazy late, and then it also went to OT where he added 5 to 7 more points. So under 33.5 on the road, I don't hate, especially if like I could see them try and finally kind of with Jalen do what they've done with Joel. It's like, all right, let's make someone else beat us. But yeah, that is the way I would look at it, guys. Is if you're watching this game, you're sitting down on your couch or in your bed watching this game. There will be runs. Just take the live spread of the team that just got their run, opposite of the team that just got their run, and it'll come back. It'll come back, like, and multiple times. Like, you could probably find, if you were just sitting, this is like the perfect series to live bet games. You probably could have made a killing, right? Like, in every single one of these games, You could have gotten the winner as an underdog at some point. I'm not joking. Knicks, even in game one, where the Knicks were 4 or 5 point favorites, Sixers were up late in the fourth. You could have gotten the Knicks as a slight dog. Game two, definitely could have got them as a dog. Game three, I think you could have gotten the Sixers. Game three, I don't remember perfectly. I would guess you could have gotten the Sixers as a dog at some point. Definitely could have gotten the Knicks as a dog in game four, and definitely could have gotten the Sixers as a dog in game five. So that's the way I look at it. We'll get to the Bucks Pacers. Another tough read and another game where it's like, okay, well, first off, let's talk about this. This game's now at 8, right? And the last time they played in Indy, it was at 10. So that would lead me to believe that Dame is probably playing. I don't think it's guaranteed. I can't tell you that he's for sure playing. But if you look at just like breaking down the line, in game four, the Bucks were 10-point dogs. In game five without Dame, there were 4-point home favorites. So that implies 7-point difference by the books view. If home court is 3 points, right, then on the road, you're a 10-point dog, because 3 points for Indiana because a home court plus 7 = 10. You take that same 7 at home, 7-point difference. Bucks get 3 because they're at home. It chops it down to a 4-point dog. So they're essentially, for the last two games, saying that the Bucks were 10-point favorite. That there's a 7-point difference between the two. It's now down to 5. So I would assume a lot of that has to do with the fact that Dame is gonna give it a go tomorrow. And again, we've talked about it. It's not as simple as just like you hop back in and everything's Gucci and right. But at the same time, Dame is one of those guys who's just a flamethrower. He's missed less than a week, I think, at this point. And he's obviously huge for this offense. So yeah, it just kind of comes down to that. I feel probably like this is a lot for a closeout game, but I do think that Indiana understands, like, this is our game 7. We have already lost 2 of the 3 games in Milwaukee. Yeah, we won one, but we don't want to have to rely on doing that. We're not the Miami Heat. We're not cracked out. We're not crazy. Like, let's just do this at home. Let's just get this done now. Avoid game 7. I don't think Giannis would play, even if it does get to a game 7. But, let's just take care of business right now. So, but at the same time, it's still 8, right? Like, this is not 3. This is an 8. So, I do think Indiana probably does win this and understands the importance of it. But I don't think I can get to 8. I don't think I can get to 8. And I don't think I can get to anything, just given the fact that we don't know for sure that Dame's playing. But, and again, we've already seen, I've gotten burned before in terms of taking Isaiah Hart and time, thinking Mitchell's not going to play, and then Mitchell plays. So probably want to wait until that news comes in just to make the most informed decision possible, and then go from there. But for me, nothing there, nothing on the total, right? This thing just keeps dropping. And I think the later you get in a series, the tighter games get, the lower the total goes. And again, you could have a game like today where, shit, the Clippers just get blown out, even though it's supposed to be a close game, and it goes over. But, yeah, I will say Chris Middleton under – like, again, I'm always going to like unders in these games, right? Like, a lot of these guys' minutes are up, but Chris Middleton over 41.5 is a huge, huge number if Dame comes back. He was sitting at like 32, 33.5 in the games that Dame played. So who knows? Maybe they're not expecting Dame back, and this is just like a Bucks found something type shit. I don't know. There's a lot to unpack here. Ultimately, for me, I've got nothing with the spread. I've got nothing with the total, and I've got really nothing on the props. Again, game 6. 5 games of data. The books know what they're doing. The books have these in generally the right spots. And if they didn't have it early, they have it now. So for me, I'm probably staying off this. I'm going to root my ass off for the Knicks tomorrow. I would rather not get to a game 7 where now we've got to pray for, because we got 2 motherfucking units on the Knicks, man. And they were right there last game. We really would have rather them just get it done at home in game 5. But honestly, shit, if I'm being completely honest, I'd lean the Sixers -3 tomorrow, just in terms of I think they're going to win. It's a short spread. But, like, you can never, ever, ever rule out this Knicks team. And I would not be shocked if the Knicks get it done. I will say, we can just record tomorrow. I was going to say, like, we can just cover Cavs Magic and Clips Mavs now, but there could just be different shit that could happen that we want to cover individually tomorrow. But I appreciate y'all. And I know this has been a grind. And these pods are probably going to get, they're going to be less and less frequent as we have less and less slates. But again, just know that in the off season, we're going to be doing new stuff when it comes to free agency and the draft and all that good stuff. And then when the regular season rolls back around, man, we're locking in and we're making stacks. And we'll be here for every single game. But as for tomorrow, we got 2 really fun games in the East. No idea how it's going to play out. I like the Sixers, and that's about it. But I'm not even playing the Sixers. Best of luck, guys, to whatever you end up playing. I appreciate y'all tuning in, and we've got Cavs Magic tomorrow, or not tomorrow, Friday, and then we've got Clippers Mavs. So we'll still have two games on Friday. We'll have plenty to talk about. We'll get to it tomorrow. I think I will have a play tomorrow. I do. I like the Magic, but we'll talk our way through that tomorrow when we get there. I appreciate y'all. We'll talk soon. Peace.